Going to pray. And since we spend a lot of time in prayer, what do we pray for? Paul is a man, he prays quite a bit. And he once said to the Corinthian believers, he said that I speak in tongue more than all of you. So we can see Paul emphasize and also pray a lot in when he talked to God. And today I'd like to use the passage, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 21, for mutual encouragement. We'll see what does Paul pray for. And these are the seven things that we need to learn to pray for others, as well as the things that we pray for ourselves. These are the seven things that we need to pursue. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, verse 16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is width and length and depth and height. Verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that working in us. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever. Amen. Here is Paul's prayer for the believers in Ephesus. And Paul was very concerned with the believer in Ephesus because that he was in chain. And he was afraid that the believer might be discouraged. And thought that there's a persecutions and people discouraged and they have fear in their heart and cannot continue in their belief. So this is what Paul prayed for them. But there are seven things that Paul prayed for, and this is something that we need to pursue. And these are the seven things that we need to memorize too, so we can pray for others and pray for ourselves. The first thing that was mentioned is that in verse 16, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So he's praying that God strengthen these believers so that they can have the power in their heart. Oftentimes, we experience this, that our spirit is willing, but our body is weak. Constantly in our heart, there's one battle between good and evil. Paul experienced that. And also in Exodus chapter 17, whenever Moses raised his hand in his prayer, we can see that Israelites is winning the battle. But whenever he lowered his hand, then Israelites is losing the battle to Amalekite. Amalekite symbolized the sinful nature. So the very first thing that Paul is concerned is that are these believers, do they have the strength of God, the power of God in their heart? And this is what we have come here for. I heard some brother and sister say that last night, that they come here, they want to be renewed in strength. They want to have strength to serve the Lord and continue to believe. So this is the first thing we pray for. This is very fundamental. This is just the first step. But however, we need to progress further. Let's look at the second thing that he prayed for. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What's the purpose to have the power of God in us, to strengthen our heart? That will lead to have Christ living in us. What does it mean to have Christ living in us? We know that God is the Word. And Paul truly desired that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, can fully dwell in them, abide in them. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Here, Peter said, put away all the evil things, but desire for the truth, so that we can grow. This is Paul's desire. It's also our desire as a pastors and preachers, a worker of God. Sometimes we see believers, their faith is the parents' faith because the parents believe, so they go to church. Because the parents believe, and that's why I believe too. But they do not, they're not necessarily have the desire to believe, accept God as the Lord and Savior, and to truly believe, accept, willing to accept the Word of God. And some people come because their friends told them to come. They say, oh, this is NYT is very good. So they come. But we need to build up our own faith, and the Christ can dwell in us, not dwell in our parents. So we need to pray for ourselves too, that the Word of God can dwell in our heart, just like a good soil. The seed is planted in good soil, and it grows to bear 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. But if our heart is like rocky places or a place with thorns, it will choke the Word of God. So we also pursue to help ask God to clear our hearts, make our hearts tender to accept the Word of God. Let's look at the third thing that Paul prayed. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the second half. The third thing that Paul prayed for the believers, and also the things I want to pursue, is that you being rooted and grounded in love. What does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? That means that Paul wanted the believers, no matter what happened, they will continue to love men and love God. Nothing will change them. Let's look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. Ruth chapter 1, 15. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to the people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law, verse 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God, verse 17. Where you die, I will die, and there would I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Here we can see that Ruth is truly rooted and grounded in love. She knows how to love people, and she's determined to continue that way, even to the point of death. Here, she said, Naomi was saying to her, if you follow me, that's too much trouble. I have nothing to give it to you. I cannot give you a husband. You had to travel that far from your hometown, from your parents, from your own country, and to a foreign place. And what will you get? You had to take care of me. Why don't you stay in your own country and marry to a rich person. Enjoy your life. But Ruth did not do that. She's determined to help her mother-in-law. And usually mother-in-law and daughter-in-law argues. But for her, she determined to love unto the point of death. And this is what we need to pray for the believers. And this is what we need to pursue. Sometimes we see certain things, brother or sister offending another. And what do people do? I don't want to come to church anymore. And then thinking, these people are hypocrites. And they feel hurt. But there is no love that is rooted and grounded in them. Christ gave us a very example, a person who is deeply rooted in love. While people were persecuting him, and he's still loving them. And while before he was crucified, people said trifle him, people slander him, saying that he cast out evil spirits. By what? By evil spirit. That's very insulting. And he went through so many persecutions, but he still decided to go on the cross and to die for mankind. So Christ's love is deeply rooted. So our love for our brother and sister should be also not to be offended or far away because they do something to us. Our love towards God should be also deeply rooted. Just turn to Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. 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 O Ephraim, what should I do to you? O Judah, what should I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like early dew, it goes away. Here God comments on the love of the people of Israelites. God feels that these Israelites love him only temporarily. It's just like a morning dew. When the sun goes up, it disappears. Sun usually can represent the heat of the sun, usually represent persecutions. When trouble comes, these people cannot continue to love God. So their love is like a mess, only for temporarily. And sometimes if we look at our life, our love for God is also too. Sometimes we love for God very fervently. We are fired up. But after a while, when we go back from NYTS to our home, that our love for God can slowly die down. And something we need to pursue so that the love can be deeply grounded in us, we'll continue to love God with unchanging love, just as Christ loved us. Let's look at the fourth thing that Paul prayed for, and he pursued, is that he prayed in verse 18 and verse 2-19, the first part. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's put a bookmark in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Verse 19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Here, Paul prayed for the believer is that they can comprehend the love of Christ, which is beyond measurement. Try to reach, understand how much love that Christ has for us. If we can do that, we can pray in that way. Also, of course, we pray for our believers, pray for our brother and sister, so that they know the love of God. So once they know the love of God, they will not leave God. Often time we leave God is because we don't feel love from God. We don't feel God's care, nothing attracting us. One time, there's one sister was sharing in the group, saying that there are believers who is not interested to come to church. And I was very concerned, and they stopped coming. And sometimes she talked to those believers who had no interest to come to church. And then in my mind, I was thinking, why? Why don't these people come to church? And I figured out that they're in their prayer, or their relationship with God, there's something wrong with it. Somehow, when they communicate with God, sometimes it doesn't go through. They don't feel attraction from God. They don't feel the love of God. And if they have constantly known the love of God, they will not depart from God, because God's love attracts them always. In the manner, I believe, I read an article. This is from UK. There was one brother. He's more like a prodigal son. He come to church just superficially. His body is here, but his heart is not here. And he likes to do his own thing, have a nice car, and drive a fast speed, go where he wants to. And one day, while he was coming to the service, and he testified that he felt that there was a nail piercing right into his hands. And the pain was so painful that it comes up and reached to his heart, and he just fainted. And when he fainted it, he went up to heaven. He met with the Lord. And while he was talking to the Lord, he felt that the heaven is so wonderful, and Lord is indeed gracious and loving. And after that experience, and then of course afterward, the Lord told him, you got to go down. You can't stay here. So unwillingly, he returned to his own body, and he woke up. And from that time on, he knew how much God loved for him, and this indeed God exists. And if we can know God's love, then we'll not depart from God. So this is something we need to pray for our brothers and sisters, and also pray for ourselves, so that we'll not depart from God. Let's look at the fifth thing that Paul prayed for. In verse 19, the second part, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the fifth thing that Paul prayed for. He desired that the believers are filled with righteousness, love, joy, peace, wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and courage and holiness, all the divine natures, characteristic of God in them. And this is the desire of Paul, treating these believers as if they were his children. What does parents want the most is that the children will walk in the way of God, to do what is right and just. And being a parent, that will please them. That will give them great joy and satisfaction. And this is our desire towards you too, that you fill with all these divine character in your heart. As you do things, you manifest the glory, the life of Christ. And if you do that, you're feeling that will give us great pleasures, a great joy. And this is something we need to pursue and pray for. Let's look at the sixth thing that Paul prayed for, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us. Here Paul, after he prayed for these five things, he also believed that God is capable to do more than what he prayed for. Oftentimes when we pray for others or pray for our things, we usually say, God, you got to do it this way, according to my way, according to my time, according to my plan, according to my understanding. But no, Paul leave room for God, because he truly believed that God is above him. He's the only wise God. And that's why in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, often tells us that present our request to God and don't worry. And also, if we look at the example of Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, of course, we can see that he's very concerned about Lot. He even risks his life to rescue Lot. So when God told him he's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities, he prayed. And he kind of bargained with God. But he didn't mention about Lot. And Bible records that God, even though there's no 10 righteous person in Sodom, but God still rescued Lot out of the Sodom. And that's beyond the understanding of Abraham. Abraham didn't pray for that, but he's quite concerned. Will God destroy for this all the entire city if there are less than 10 righteous people? And God will. And in his heart, he thought maybe Lot has died in Sodom when God destroyed it because there are less than 10 righteous people. But God did more than he asked. So we need to trust God, the only wise God, and leave room for God as we pray and we entrust our request to God, to him. Last one, the seventh thing that Paul prayed. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generation forever and ever. Paul gave glory to God. And all these things that he prayed for had one purpose. It's that God can be glorified through the church, through the believers. And he pursued to glorify God. This is also, we should have the same attitude in our prayer. It's not always me. I want this. I want this for my glory. I want for this for my power. But it's not this way. It's by for the glory of God. Paul always want to exalt God, to glorify God. So in his prayer, eventually, God is the one who is glorified. So in our prayer, don't forget to glorify God. Okay? And our motive should be when we pray for certain people, for certain things, it should be to the glory of God. So these are the seven things that Paul prayed for. First, he prayed for the strength in the heart through the Holy Spirit. Second, Christ may fully dwell in the believers. The Word of God can dwell in believers. Third, being rooted and grounded in love. Fourth, comprehend the love of God. Fifth, feel in the fullness of God. Sixth, that God is capable of doing beyond what we imagine, what we pray for. Seventh, we give all the glory to God.